Amen. Thank you, Miss Lydia. You know, she was supposed to sing that this morning, and everything just, it was crazy this morning, amen. But we'll just have to have her sing that on a Sunday morning coming up, amen. Everybody needs to enjoy that. It's a wonderful, wonderful song that will be reminded of our good and gracious King. Aren't you grateful He's good to us, amen? And He's gracious, and we never have to wonder about that. It's just He proves it day in and day out. Goodness and grace flowing from His throne into our lives. Well, we're going to see about those that need to experience that goodness and grace. And as Brother Winston said, that's all of us. And so turn with me to Luke's Gospel tonight, chapter 15. And we're going to consider these three parables over the next 3 weeks and about things that are lost and things that are found. Now, you know, when we lose things of value, we'll often go to great lengths to find them, to recover them. Someone today lost his wallet, I heard, and they were searching everywhere to try to find it. Everybody was trying to help him to find it, and it was in the, you know, in the cushions. Do you remember those days when everything got lost down in the cushions and the furniture? And man, you could fill up a piggy bank just by sometimes taking the cushions out and finding all the coins that were down in there. But these things that are lost here, it's interesting in these parables, something is lost in each one, and praise God, it's later found, all right? That's important. I mean, not just losing something, but finding it's the main thing. And what's amazing is in each parable, the cost of the item, or actually the value of the item that's lost, it increases in worth. And so that's significant as well. And the amazing thing about each item that is finally found or retrieved, or there's joy that is expressed when the individual finds that thing which has been lost. Now, that's important for us to remember. Joy is vital in our walk of faith. We have all the reason to rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. I think we're reminded by Paul would tell us that's how we should live our life. And especially for those of us that were lost and been found, amen, we should greatly rejoice that the Savior came and found us. And this is the picture of the parable. And I'm going to read the first two verses, and then we'll jump down to the parable, because the introduction is really significant for each parable as the Lord instructs His disciples here. And so I'm in Luke chapter 15. And the first parable, the parable of the lost sheep. But all the parables are strung together around this context right here in verses 1 and 2. So we got to make sure we understand the context of why Jesus was giving this instruction. So Luke writes to us and he says, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Father, I pray tonight, help us to realize that You came for us. We're the sinners. Lord, we're the ones that are in debt. We're the ones that are desperate. We're the ones that need to be found. We're the ones that are grateful and have every reason to rejoice tonight that we have been found. Lord, help us to realize, though, that there's others that are lost out there, Lord, that need to be found. And may we all be doing our part as the hands, the feet of Jesus, the body of Christ, Your Spirit working in us and through us to find those lost things and bring them to You. And as we do, God, may we experience and know this joy. May we find cause to celebrate each and every day, Lord, as we find lost items of value and particularly lost souls. And so speak to us tonight, Lord, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, all the tax collectors and the sinners were drawing near to Him. Why? To hear what He had to say. I'm sure He was speaking, and they had already heard enough of the Pharisees and the scribes and had nothing to do with them because they saw right through those individuals. They saw them playing their religion like actors in a theater. They saw through that and didn't really have any regard for what they had to see. But we know what they had to say. But we know when Jesus was teaching, when He was speaking, He was not speaking like those scribes. He wasn't speaking like those Pharisees. He was speaking with authority when he spoke. Like, you knew what he was saying. There was weight to us, right? And there was weight for it, for those to hear it, what the word was. And so Jesus is reaching out. Now, I'm grateful for this, that he's embracing tax collectors and sinners. He didn't come for the healthy, as we quoted and read there Matthew's gospel. And Jesus reminded the Pharisees, I didn't come for the ones who are healthy. They don't need a physician. It's those who are sick that need a physician. And as Winston reminded us, that's all of us. Amen. These publicans known as tax collectors, these sinners who no one would have anything to do with, they were those who, you know, it's not just those who, you know, didn't keep the law. These were the rank sinners. I mean, these were probably those in the gutter, the ones that you wouldn't dare associate with. And yet, this is the context. This is the setting that they're coming to hear Jesus preach. Now, the tax collectors, that's interesting, of course, because the Jews despised them. I think that carries over to the IRS today, but that's another story. Amen. But anyways, what we know is they despised them in part because they were exploiting their own people, the Jews. They were taking advantage of them, working for the Romans, the ones who had no place there in Jerusalem. And as they worked along with the Roman government, what did they do? They exacted more than they should have been asking for in taxes. And thus, they really didn't have much appreciation for them or respect for them. And these were considered the enemy. And so they didn't like that. They didn't like them at all. And they didn't like that they were coming to Jesus and he would have anything to do with them. And then there were the sinners, those who would be looked down, particularly by the religious folk, right? They're not as good as us. You remember when the Pharisee went up to worship and Jesus told that story about how a Pharisee went up and a sinner went up and to the Lord and they went up to worship and the Pharisee boasted of just how good he was, how righteous he was, all the things that he had done and how it was an impeccable character that he had. And the other tax collector, the sinner that went up, couldn't even lift his head and drew back and just realized, I'm not even worthy to come. Jesus said, you remember which one went home justified? The one who couldn't lift his head. Not the one who thought he was something spiritually, who thought he was something morally. That was the religious people. That was the Pharisees. And so they're looking down with disdain on the tax collectors. They're looking down on the sinners. And yet they're the ones who are eager for truth. They're the ones who are eager to hear. I think in some ways, listen, church, can I just say this? Sometimes we need to be aware that when people come in the doors, they're not always going to look like us. Amen? Hello? And they shouldn't. Because do you remember when you walked in the door, what you looked like? Amen? And stop and think about that for a moment. Our desire is to see everyone come to Christ. Remember we just had this parable 2 weeks ago. Go out and there's a great feast. There's a great meal that's prepared. You're invited to come. And when you go out there and you go out there, I mean, this was the parable we learned 2 weeks ago. There in Luke chapter 14, Jesus had said, listen, go out there and tell them to come, come, come. If we do that, don't be surprised the ones that might actually come. I mean, you know what? We go out and we go minister throughout our community. Don't be surprised when you might give a plate to someone that they might actually show up in worship. And can we be as hospitable and warm to them as they walk in the doors as we are when we're out there? Amen? They should sense that and know that about us. We don't want to be, you know, religious and holier than thou by looking down on people. That's what the Pharisees did. So Jesus is reaching out to those that they didn't even care for them, had no regard for them, but we're just reminded that's why he came into this world, to save sinners. As Paul would say, to save sinners among whom I'm the foremost, there in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, his own personal testimony, being mindful of that. And so Jesus comes, and the Pharisees are saying, this man receives sinners, and he doesn't just receive them, he also eats with them. This idea of receiving them means he allows them to have access to him. Now, one ways that you identify with people and you really get to know them is by doing what? Sitting around a table and eating, fellowshipping, getting to know one another. That's what Baptists love to eat, amen? All right? Jesus shared meals. He sat down, and he spent much of his life around sinners. Well, I guess he spent his life all around sinners because everybody was a sinner when Jesus came, amen? You have to think about that. But what an example, right? By the way, if you don't spend time with the lost, how can we expect to reach them with the gospel? We've got to spend time with them. We've got to go outside the walls and engage them. And one of the things that's interesting is I know we think we're more connected because of all this gadgetry, but really we aren't. We aren't connected as we ought to be with people and engaging them. And so, you know, stop and think for a moment. What sinner, what despised one, who am I sharing the gospel intentionally with so that I'm not looking down on anyone? In fact, I think if we have the perspective of Paul, as he said over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 in his personal testimony, when we realize, you know what, I'm the chief of sinners, it's a trustworthy statement deserving all acceptance that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, among whom I'm the foremost, as he would say. I am the worst of the worst. When you're there and Jesus saved you, he can save anybody. Having that perspective, realizing, listen, if I'm the bottom of the bucket, there's hope for everyone. But I need to be the hands and feet of Jesus, reaching out and speaking to them and talking to them. So they come and they see Jesus, and Jesus is fellowshipping with them, and they don't understand how he could fellowship with the sinners. And so the religious establishment is critical of him. And in the midst of this, he speaks a parable to them. Now, it's amazing. We know he knew their hearts, right? Every time that they sat there observing what he would do, whether it was healing someone on the Sabbath, whether it was doing something miraculous, whether it's those that he's fellowshipping with, they all stood and they just watched from a distance and considered what he was doing. And so he gives them these three parables. And the first one is a great illustration for us because I think we can all relate to it as we were all like sheep gone astray. Amen. He spoke a parable to them and he said this, "What man of you..." They spoke to them, notice that, the religious ones, right? Trying to help them to realize the error of their ways. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it up on his shoulders and rejoices. He's rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. The shepherd, the picture of the shepherd and his sheep, we see clearly the picture of the love of our Lord, frankly, and what he has done for the lost. And it's a beautiful picture of salvation, but the context is he's speaking to them and giving them the opportunity to realize the error of their ways. Now, if you're lost here tonight, let me say that there is a shepherd who is searching. He's looking for you. He's come to find you. I love our radio station, 99.1, right? We're the 99 and you're the one. I think that's so, boom, booyah. God, man, that's just awesome. Don't you think so? I love that. And I love saying that to people. Hey, we're 99.1. I tell people that to listen and remind them of that. You could be the one that we're looking for. But if you're saved, you're reminded, I once was the one, amen? But he found me. Grace found me. Christ saved me. And praise God, I've got reason to rejoice tonight. But what's a beautiful thing here is that which one of you, a man, having 100 of these sheep and loses one, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Now, what's fascinating here is the shepherd is willing to leave, not the 99 necessarily in a safe location. Do you notice that? Where did he leave them? In the wilderness. The value of that one. the sheep who's wandered away. Now, sheep are not the smartest. We know that. They're not the strongest animals either. They're just not smart. They're not strong. They're not swift. They need a shepherd to care for them. They are inclined, prone to go where they shouldn't go, right? To become separated from the flock. I mean, the flock's going through a valley. They're there feasting, and one sticks his head through a hedgerow, and the next thing you know, he's gone on the other side and separated from the flock. There's one, listen, they're just inclined to go. In fact, they're not the smartest of creatures. If they see one going in a direction, typically they typically will just follow, just because that's where they should go. But what if the one is leading them in the wrong direction? That wouldn't be good. The picture here is that he is willing to leave and be separated from his flock to go find the one that is separated and bring it back. If he doesn't go and bring him back, the sheep, just they're not smart enough to find their way home. They're not like a good dog, right, who knows how to find his way home. If he doesn't go after him, that sheep will perish. And so what does he do? He exhausts all his energy, does everything he can to go and find that sheep, because he doesn't want to become prey to the wolves or some lion. He doesn't want it to fall into a cavern or over a cliff and die. He's going to do whatever it takes to find that sheep and bring it back. See, he understands something the sheep don't understand. He understands the danger of the wilderness. He understands that the welfare of that sheep, which they're not looking out for, that's the responsibility of the shepherd. He realizes, I've got to find this one and secure it. And so he leaves these others together. Usually this may be probably in a grazing place, and maybe some type of a fold there, a natural fold, a natural area where, you know, it's not as great a risk, but he's got them somewhat in a safe place. But what he knows is the value of the one. And so he goes and finds the one. He does everything he can. He searches until he finds it. Now, this is something joyful that we should celebrate about our God. Amen. I'm reminded what Isaiah say, all we like sheep have gone astray. There's none righteous, not a one of us. We all are at times just like this sheep, going where we shouldn't go. In fact, you could probably look back on your life and reflect on some times when you were out there in the wrong place, and you went out and you were lost and needed to be found. Praise God, we've got a Savior that comes and finds us. Amen? It's worth rejoicing in tonight. It's worth celebrating, knowing that what we have is a good shepherd, not a hireling, right? We've got a good shepherd that loves his sheep and loves to go after them. And praise God, I can look back on my life and I can see instance after instance where God was bringing people across my path, and things were happening in my life, and he was coming looking for a lost sheep. And I rejoice in that. I mean, it used to irritate me when I was rebelling and I realized, you know what, I changed dorms when I was in college and moved to another room, and God brought a Bible study right across the hallway from me. And I was like, I think he's trying to get my attention. What do you think? Yeah. And that's how he works. He'll bring people into your life. He'll bring situations and circumstances. And sometimes, by the way, if you know someone who's lost out there, that's a prayer I often pray. Is that God bring someone or something across their path to help them to realize you're seeking them and they can't deny it. And so that's what the shepherd does. And I'm grateful this. He knows where we're at all the time though, right? It's not like he doesn't know. This shepherd, he goes, he searches, and he finds. Now, as he goes looking, just one sheep was missing, but he still went. Now, the search could have been dangerous for him, but you know, another shepherd may have said, you know, it's not really worth it. I got 99. It's just one. But not this shepherd. No, he doesn't want to lose even one. It reminds me of what Jesus would say, that when he holds us, when we are his, he secures us, beloved. He won't lose a single one of us. Amen? What an amazing shepherd we have. And so Jesus, the good shepherd, he came into this world to save us and to secure us and to bring us into his fold, and we rejoice in that. But But he goes searching. And when he finds it, it's amazing. What does he do? He comes and lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. So he goes looking, and when he finds it, it's amazing to me. What does he do? Why would he lay it on his shoulders? Now, if we know anything about taking care of sheep, sometimes when sheep don't listen, you know what they get? Psh, 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 right? That's what we do with our children, right? Wooden spoon, always a healthy thing to have, a helpful thing to have, or a ruler, some type of rod like that. Some instrument, I think there's some value from the Proverbs there explaining the value of that being the tool that we use sometimes, the instrument we use for discipline. So it's detached from us, but something that identifies with us that the children can see. Just a thought there. But the shepherd will use his staff to bring them back in. Now, sometimes sheep won't listen, and maybe that's one of these. And when that happens, sometimes the shepherd may have to actually break one of its legs. Do you know why? Well, he doesn't like, argh. No, he breaks it in a simple way and has to lay it on its shoulders. And the reason is because then everywhere he goes, that sheep hears his voice. And that's really the picture for us, right? The easiest way to get lost is to not have our ear in tune to where the shepherd's voice is so that we're following him. And so he'll carry that. He'll lay that sheep on his shoulders. And that proximity of his voice and the sheep, it is a way to be reminding the sheep, you need to stay near me. And sometimes, let's be honest, as we'll learn in the book of Hebrews coming up in our study on Sunday mornings, you know what? A father who loves his children, what does he do? He disciplines them, right? And sometimes that happens in our life. And God does that redemptively. He does that because he wants us to draw closer to him. And so a good shepherd does this. He lifts his sheep, lays him on his shoulders. And maybe also it could be not just that the sheep has been disobedient and one that has been disinclined to listen to his voice. Maybe the sheep is worn and weary and needs to find rest. That's our shepherd too. Amen. Putting him on his shoulders, carrying him, lifting that wayward sheep and taking it back to the flock. That's the picture of what Jesus does for us. I'm grateful. You know, that's the picture David would give us in Psalm 23. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Sometimes that restoring of the soul, they call it that the cast sheep, right? The sheep that maybe eat too much, get a little too satisfied. They lie down and they can't get back up. And sometimes we find ourselves in positions where we're cast and we're bleeding for the shepherd to come and flailing our little legs, and we just need him to come and pick us up and turn us back up. He comes and grabs the sheep and puts it on his shoulders and begins to carry it, and he begins rejoicing. That which was lost has now been found. He's singing, he's celebrating, he's full of joy. I've found something of great value to me. And so this sheep has now been rescued. And now the sheep doesn't know where to go back to the flock where they were placed securely, but the shepherd knows. And so he's going to bring it back and reunite it with the rest of the flock. And the reminder there is, you know what? Praise God, when we're saved, we're kept by him, secured by him, and we can rest on him. And that's really where he wants us to find our place, trusting and resting in him. Now, when he gets back, though, and gets them all back from the wilderness, gets them all together, his flock of 100, what does he do? He brings them home. And when he brings them home, he calls together all his friends and his neighbors and says to them, and I circled this in my Bible here in verse 6. You'll see it again down in verse 9. You'll see it over later in the final parable as well when he tells everyone to come and have a party and to rejoice. Rejoice, 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 rejoice with me. Why? Because I found my sheep which was lost. And that's the joy that Jesus has over finding lost things that you and I should share as well. Amen. We should rejoice in that when we find that which is lost and when it's been reunited where it ought to be all along. You know, there's joy in heaven, we know, among the angels when just one lost sinner is saved. And if there's rejoicing in heaven, how much more should we? Now, how valuable is a sheep? I mean, it's a creature. It has some value, but the value of a soul is infinitely more, right? Because we do last forever, and so our souls are made for eternity. So unlike the creatures, that's the distinction between us being made in the image of God and having souls that live forever. Just think of the value of that and why we should be rejoicing. If heaven is rejoicing when someone is separated from God and then brought back, how much more should we? I think that's why whenever you see someone come in the doors, beloved, put armor around their shoulder. Tell them, hey, it's good to see you. And remind them of the joy. You know why? Maybe they've been lost. Maybe they've been out there. But praise God, they're back. We need to be rejoicing in that. That's what the shepherd does. I'm just grateful. I don't know. I can reflect on my life. And I can remember a day when I was out there. And the shepherd came and found me. And bless his name. Praise his name. I am here where I am today. You know what it was? There's a lot of things if I look back on it. But I'll never forget a gentleman by the name of David Martin. I named my third born after him, by the way, in some ways. But just came knocking on a door. And I was at my buddy's apartment. And I was running from God. He said, hey, it was an EE team. Do you remember those? He said, hey, we want to ask you some questions. And I was like, I know who you are. And you're going to spoil my fun. And my buddy Jake said, who is it? Tell him to come on in. And I said, no, don't do that. Well, they came in, and David Martin, he said, we just got a couple questions we're going to ask you, and we'll be on our way. A survey. I said, sure, go ahead. And he asked me that question. I said, listen, man, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm good to go. You can talk to that guy right there. I'm good to go. You don't need to ask me any more questions. I was convicted. Because I knew the truth. I knew where I was supposed to be, right? My buddy Jake, he was lost as a goose in a snowstorm. He didn't have a clue. I didn't realize that night was I put that track in my cargo pocket of my BDUs. When I finally quit running from the Lord and God broke me and I said, okay, you win, that I would have gone and looked through one of the drawers in my kitchen and there was that track with his name and his number on it. I told my mama, I said, what do I do now? And she said, you need to call him. And I'll never forget that. I called him and I said, hey, you know, a couple months ago, you probably don't remember me. You came to my buddy's place and on. He said, oh, no, I remember you. And I thought, oh, well, great. But praise the Lord, I am where I am because he was one of the instruments God used to come find a lost sheep. Praise the Lord, that might be you tonight. You never know, a phone call you might make, someone, a door you might knock on, someone you might speak to out of the blue at Food Lion, maybe in the line. You never know how the Lord might use a word you speak or something you share to help find a sheep that's out there lost. Let him use you. Don't look down with disdain on the sinners. Don't look down, I'm glad I'm not like them. We don't want to be holier and higher than, you know, the other, you know, we're no good then. But if we're going to do what he said, telling them to come, I mean, that's the parable we learned 2 weeks ago. If we're going to invite them, and when they come, or when we're out there inviting them, let's regard them as he would regard them, amen? And let's say, are you lost? Because he's come precisely for you, the one. And may we be found faithful to do that. You see, sometimes we're out there and we need to be rescued. And there's people like that all around us. But if you are saved and have been found, then rejoice, amen? And celebrate how God has changed your location and put you in a safe and secure place. I say to you, likewise, Jesus said, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Why is repentance the key thing? Why? Well, you know, Peter would say it this way. God is not slack concerning his promises. He's going to come, but his delay right now, his long suffering, his patience is that he doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants them all to come to repentance. This is the key. And the most important thing we can say to any lost sheep out there is here's what God really wants, repentance. That's what God wants everyone to do, to turn from sin, from self, and turn to him. And so listen, when we share that message with them, when we bring it to them, as we learned last week, let's not give them a watered-down gospel, right? Let's give them the truth, repentance and faith. What Jesus preached when he burst on the scene, Mark 1:15. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. And beloved, that's our message as well. And that's what Jesus and the angels and everyone rejoices in. Finding them who are lost and seeing them repent. And so may that be our desire as well. Let's get our eyes off the 99 and focus on the one. They're out there this week. In fact, why don't you just pray that with me right now? I want you just, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's just ask the Lord that maybe tonight there's one at work. There's one in our subdivision. There's one in our school. There's one that the shepherd wants to find. And since we're his body, we're his hands, we're his feet, we're the body of Christ, may we have the heart of the shepherd to find that one. Lord, instill that in our hearts tonight, Father. Your heart, your desire, as a good shepherd to go find the one who's lost. Lord, to give ourselves to that task, realizing, Lord, we once were there, but by your grace and by your mercy, you came and found us and brought us back. Lord, we give thanks tonight that we can rejoice that we belong to you and we're safe and secure in you, but God, help us to see that your desire is that others repent and come to you. And Lord, may we be faithful to go and invite them to come. But Lord, also may we be faithful to give them the only message that can bring redemption, and that is repentance and faith in Christ. And so, Lord, help us even in that, we pray tonight. And Jesus, help us to realize sheep have value and so do souls. And may we realize that infinite value that's there in the uniqueness of each one that you've made for your glory. We love you and we praise you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.